Hello and welcome to the Camping Crew podcast with Chris and Aaron.
Hi everybody and welcome to episode 195 of the Camping Crew podcast. I'm Aaron Birchall.
And I'm Chris Byrne.
It's been a while, Chris, since we said that.
Seems like it's been about 4 or 5 weeks, Aaron, hasn't it?
It must be, if not a week or two sooner, but yeah, it must be around that. But can we remind people, it's a fun podcast, we're just enthusiasts, and what we discuss on the podcast are just our own personal views. However, we do look into things that you ask us to look into.
If you'd like to support the podcast, and if you can afford it, you can buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/thecampinggroup.
Now, news. Some news is good news, some news is bad news. This is bloody great news.
Yeah, we got an email. I suppose anyone who's visited Fantastival in the past would have gotten an email. There's also, I think, some posts online about a potential Fantastival festival. But is it this year? Is it next year? Well, the email said, "Hi all, we will be back in 2025 for our first festival in 3 years. It will be the last ever Fantastival at Bolu House and Gardens. It's been a wild ride with 12 festivals since 2010. While the circumstances have changed in the industry, in our personal and professional lives, and in many other ways, we don't want to fizzle out, so we plan to go out with a bang." So they say, "Fantastival 2025 will be a party like no other. The dates and details will be released in autumn, so stay tuned. We love you all, and thanks for sticking with us," they say. Now, I know people had been asked, is that it? Like, is it all over? They said, no, it's just the last festival at Bolu House. But, you know, whether it'll be every year, every second year in a smaller festival or low key, or we don't know. But I'm looking forward to it.
I read it as the last festival ever. So do you think that just in Drogheda?
That's what they alluded to in their online emails on, I think it was either on Facebook or Instagram, somebody had been asking that question. Said, "We're not ruling anything out effectively," is what they said. I'm not sure the exact words they used. It seems like it's the last one at Bolu House.
Oh, it'll be brilliant. It will be brilliant because their festivals are brilliant in general. And if they're going to throw one to go out with a bang, it is going to be super. And we will be in the first 10 people booking our tickets before Christmas.
Yeah, it seems like such a long time since we were there, kind of at the last one, wasn't it?
It was 2022 because actually I was updating the campsite review slideshow and up it came. There was Fantastival. Anyway, looking forward to it. 2025. We'll get in touch with the crew and see if we can get an interview closer to the launch date and get the inside scoop. So we will keep you updated. Now, some questions regarding Donegal campervan site grants.
Yeah, there was an article on Ocean FM. This was published on April the 12th. If anyone wants to look it up, you can get it on oceanfm.ie. Very short article, but the article said that questions are being asked over grants being given to those wishing to open campervan sites in South Donegal. Donegal County Council introduced the grant some years back as a means towards tackling the issue of campervans parking in undesignated areas in the county. It's understood that planning for such a site is being finalised near Donegal town, but the person behind the plan still is waiting on support from the council. There was a councillor there, Michael Nocton, says that those who are looking to open the site deserve the support, and he was interviewed on the radio. There's a short audio clip on that as well, where he's saying, look, he's chasing it up, looking for more information as to where the support is. So look, one to watch out for, really. It's kind of more, there seems to be more activity coming from the council now, chasing the more information on those grants that should have been available.
Brilliant. Well, we'll watch this space because the more pitches we can get, there's still such a massive demand for pitches, be they actual campsites or in the state of an air.
Yeah, and I think like a lot of other councils are starting to kind of get on board now and starting to realise the potentials of the camper vans. And, you know, if you set it up right, there is room and there's a place for all of the camper vans across the county. Like you can see now, like what the Hub and Greg de Manna has done for that village and what the camper van place in Cove has done for them. And, you know, lots of other examples around and popping up as well. So there certainly would have been a time a few years back. I remember when summer came along, there was a shortage of places to go and everywhere was queues. And now the last couple of years, there's always been somewhere to go, I think, which is what we want, you know.
Now, campsites are still filling up, and even at this time of the year, the bank holiday weekends, I know for a fact, because I have a video coming up, not this Friday, but the following Friday, from Linders. They don't have a pitch for a bank holiday for 2024.
Yeah, and that's always going to be the way. I think all the campsites that are near the sea, yeah, and that you can book and pre-book, and it would that have that prime location, they're obviously going to be booked out first. They've got limited spaces, so that's understandable. Bank holiday weekends, the height of summer, you would expect those to be already full and gone. But look inland a little bit is what I tell people, yeah, as well. You know, there's lots of campsites inland and lots of other campsites that you mightn't have tried before. Try a new campsite. Go somewhere you haven't been before, you know, make an adventure out of it.
I had put out on Instagram a couple of weeks back looking for any suggestions to campsites that myself and Charlie can go to. And I have a list here of 7 campsites, 4 of them I never heard of. I'm heading off to 2 of them this weekend, so we're looking forward to it. So, yeah, try new places, especially if your regular places are full up.
And if you've been to a place, I'm talking to the listeners, that you've never heard us mention before, tell us about it. There could be lots of campsites out there we're just not aware of.
Yeah.
You know, they mightn't have big fancy web pages, or it might not be on the Camping Ireland directory. We'd love to hear of camping places that you think Aaron should go and review, or we should go visit as part of the camping crew.
Yeah, please do let us know, and we'll give you all the contact details at the end of the podcast. Now, listeners, messages, follow-ups and shout-outs. A couple of weeks ago, somebody was asking us about festivals, and you put a shout-out saying, hey guys, are there any other festivals that we might have missed? And you got some correspondence.
Yeah, TP there asked us a couple of weeks back, and Liam sent us a festival follow-up as well. He says, hi all, further to the last podcast, here's another musical festival for your listeners. It's also in June, and we ourselves will be heading to the campsite there for this festival. We hope it's of use. So the festival is supporting the RNLI. It's called Ross's Point Shanty Festival. Now, they have a webpage. The webpage is wildatlanticshanty.eu. It's on Friday the 16th of June and Saturday the 17th of June and Sunday the 18th of June. So they have, like, for example, Friday the 16th of June, they have a fundraising shanty concert in the church there. They have a number of pubs will have different gigs on around. Saturday the 17th of June, there's some more activities. There's a marquee there. There's some sort of what do they call it? It's called the Mohoro Cup, which is hotly contested each year. It's like a boating cup. The rules are simple. Any boat under 10 horsepower can take part. So it looks like a little boat race there out around their metal man. And a few different activities around, which you can look that up, as you said, on wildatlanticshanty.eu up there in Ross's Point. So fabulous area.
Lovely, Liam. Thank you for that. A question came in from David F. He says, hi, guys. I was rooting in my garage and I came across a set of internal windscreen silver insulation covers. Will these work if I just stick them on the outside of the windscreen? From listening to your podcasts, you say that the exterior blinds are much better to reduce or even eliminate condensation on the inside of the windscreen. What is the difference between inside and outside covers? Or is it just the way that they're attached? Kind regards, David. I think the outside ones are made of one sheet, where the inside ones have stitching and may let water in, and then the inside padding may just get soaked and rot away. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, like if you look at those inside ones, the outside ones, they wrap fully around the windscreen, so there's no gaps. You know, it goes above the edge of the window all the way around. And the ones on the side screen go literally, in most cases, over the door. So there's no cold air. It kind of effectively blocks all the cold air from going against the glass. And that's where you get your condensation when the warm air meets the cold air. The moisture in the air will stick to the glass. So, you know, whereas if you're sticking the ones that go inside, for the most part, you know, they sucker onto the windscreen.
Yes, just so the size
loads
of
gaps
window
around the sides for the air to come in. I think they're probably more about privacy. You do get some heat off them, obviously. You know, you see in some of the newer vans, they come with the blinds.
Yes, yes.
Again, I think, I'm not sure how much heat.
No, I think that is more privacy.
I think they're more kind of privacy as well. But you do get some value from them. But if you want to stay warmer in
or
the winter and cooler in the summer, the outside ones, obviously, the outside ones have a disadvantage. Then if you need to move away quickly, you have to go outside and take them on and pop them off. So like probably more suited for campsites rather than wild camping.
Yeah, I just love the outside ones because we've so much stuff on the windscreen between camera mounts and sat nav and digital camera, the dash cam. But I got a set of outside ones for the VW, for the T3. They're not as heavy quality because they're not from Silver Screens in the UK where you and I got ours, but they're still the exact same. They hook over the door, they go around the mirrors, and they can fold down during the day in the front, and they're absolutely brilliant. So, Dave, I hope that answers your question, that you're not going to be putting little rubber suckers on them and sticking the inside ones on the outside. But if you do, let us know how you get on.
I've noticed a couple of chats online in some of the forums there. There's a chat about those that we have, the Silver Screens one that came from the UK. I'm not sure if those guys deliver to Ireland anymore. I think they don't. So I'm not sure how easy the outside ones are actually to get in Ireland anymore and if anybody distributes them. If you have bought them this year, we'd love to know maybe who's selling them here in Ireland, the outside ones. And we can share that with the listeners as well, because I think they're quite tricky enough to get in. And if you're shipping them in from Europe, there's probably a heavy shipping cost as well, you know.
Yeah, I know we did get them pre-Brexit, and the ones I got for the VW are just for the VW and were from a VW supplier. So yeah, if you've bought some recently, especially Irish based, please do get in touch and let us know, possibly the cost as well.
The good quality ones specifically, you know, just you want to be recommending good quality products, you know.
Tura was on campsitereview.com only today, actually, and he's asked a question and he said, I'm heading to the west for the Maybank holiday weekend and I'm thinking of bringing the bicycles, weather permitting. Does anyone have any pointers for me regarding the Western Greenway? Points to note, places to see. Any information is desperately appreciated, deeply appreciated. I'm not familiar with any of the greenways because I'm only new to the biking thing. But I would always say, Tura, bring the flipping bikes anyway. I recently bought a waterproof cover for the electric bike, even though it folds. I don't fold it and put it in the camper. I leave it on the bike rack. So if they're covered up, I just think bring the bike anyway.
Yeah, there is a page actually called greenway.ie, and that is the webpage for the Great Western Greenway. So it's well worth kind of checking that out if you want to know the different trails and routes on it and where it runs from. But I'm sure there's lots of other trails. I think every county now has gotten on the Greenway train as well, which is great to see. Makes just taking your bike with you much more fun, I suppose, for want of a better phrase, you know.
Speaking of greenways, and we'll touch base on it in a couple of minutes when we asked Charlie about the question about Charlie and me, but I was on the Navan Greenway, a new greenway which is open, so more about that a little bit later on. But Tura, yeah, bring the bike anyway. Sure, if you don't use it, you don't use it. Myself and Deirdre, when we went on our honeymoon in 2012 to France, we brought the two bikes. Never came off the back of the camper till we came back home, but it was great to have them, and especially in France, it's brilliant to have them.
Yeah, and inland there's a whole bunch of greenways as well. I know Limerick have one, and you've spoken a few times about the one on the shore there as well. And I think there's a blue way. Canals and riverways. So I'm looking at another web page here if anybody's interested. It's called greenwaysireland.org, and it mentions a number of different greenways as well. So you might check that out as well. So that's greenwaysireland.org.
I could be wrong, but I think a greenway is inland and a blue way is by water. I think that's the difference, because it's a blue way from Carrick to Clonmel, which will eventually go on to Kerr and Cashel because it's up by the River Shore. And as far as I know, it's a blue way, the one in Trim, because it's by the canal. But the one I was on in Navan is a greenway because, again, it's just true land. I think that's the difference.
If you mix green and blue together, what colour do you get?
I think you come up with an orange way, do you?
No, an orange way. Maybe that's, yeah, maybe
you're asking the guy here who's
an orange way. So, yeah.
So anyway, yes, Tura, bring the bikes. There's always no harm in having them. Campsites and stopovers. Liam Kay was on campsitereview.com and he left a review about Loch Key Forest Camping Park. Now, he was there in his caravan a few years ago, but now he's crossed over and he's become a motorhome owner. And I was very interested in comparing the two reviews. So here is his review on Loch Key Forest Camping Park. Following on from our last visit here, which was in the caravan, this time we spend a rainy weekend here in our motorhome. Prices had risen to €30 per night. Showers were free this weekend as they had some sort of issues with the hot water. However, we found the water to be roasting. As per my previous review, the roof of the showers aren't exactly clean. They haven't been cleaned in what I reckon is a while. My observations as a motorhome owner, there is no dedicated motorhome service area per se. There is a drain at each pitch to dispose of your grey water. However, this drain is the same you'll find at the end of any downpipe from the gutters at your home, probably a 6-inch square, on the right-hand side of each pitch. Not ideal if you're trying to line up the waste drain pipe on your rig. Our rig is left-hand drive. All the drainage pipes are on the left-hand side also. This meant we could not position our rig to have the water pouring into that small 6-inch drain. So I had to drain it into a bucket and transfer it into the drain pipe. Not ideal, especially after a night of the black stuff. Caravans had it easier as they piped their grey water directly into the drain. Just something to bear in mind. Other than that, it's a great site and well maintained. Also note, it does suffer from a high water table, so any rain is slow to drain off, especially in the area opposite the check-in office, to the left as you enter the site. We were on pitch 51, which was cosy and tarmac adamed. Overall, a good site, but not sure if we'd visit again in a motorhome for the reasons I've outlined. For families, it's ideal. I'm finding a few campsites now putting the drain on the pitch and you need a hose. My first timer had a hose that came from the grey water, but none of my vans have had one since.
Is that like something, like, would these be older sites, Aaron? I'm thinking that yes. They're originally set up for caravans, not yes. For motorhomes. They're just, yes. They're kind of legacy, they're their legacy. Like, if you see any new campsite, they usually have no drains there and you drain them on your way.
There's an area, yes, there's a grey water, fresh water area, yes.
Grey water up there. I think they're just legacy drains that were put in when the campsite was built for caravans before motorhomes were so prolific.
Yeah, and then I think, because I remember when Curra Chase opened first, that was very similar because that would have been a caravan site originally. But then what Warren did, I know it's closed now, but just to say what he did then was put in a grey water area. Lockheed don't seem to have done that. It is a fabulous campsite. But yeah, I wouldn't have done what Liam done. I would have just waited like at home or found a shore. I'm lucky. I've actually got a shore right outside my house. So if ever I do forget, or when I go to the yard, if ever I do forget or haven't been able to empty my grey tank, I can just open it into the shore. Because it's only the shower, the wash hand basin and the sink anyway. Not that your neighbours realise that at times.
You got to just be a little bit discreet, I think, even if it is just normal grey water.
But thank you for that, Liam. Campsitereview.com, if you want to go on there and read the previous review when he was there as a caravanner, and there's plenty of other reviews. It's been very, very active, actually, this week.
Yeah, it wasn't like a bad review. There's a few kind of niggly things, as he said, the site was nice, just a couple of niggles that might have put him off, you know, and that image he gave after his night on the Guinness probably will remain in my brain for the rest of the evening.
And it's great to get somebody who was a caravanner and now a motorhomer, or vice versa, to go back to the same site and say, wow, this wasn't as handy as it was when we had the caravan or the motorhome.
Yeah, definitely he would have noticed a lot more things. As I said, it looks like it might have been set up originally for caravans and now. But look, certainly a massive, a lovely location there, you know. Yeah, you've been kind of getting up to speed, I see, on Charlie Meehan.
We've been busy. Last Friday's video was of Moat Farm in Dinard in Wicklow, which, by the way, up to now has 1,778 views. It got 1,000 views within its first 24 hours. I'm always happy with 450, 500 views in the first 28 hours. And we get a lot of correspondence, so people are looking forward, didn't know about it, and are looking forward to it. So that video was last Friday.
Yeah, this Friday. I've heard it before, Aaron, as well, you know.
Again, I had put the call out, as I mentioned, and it came up on my list of sites. Nuala was the lady that runs it. She lives next door. It's an old, established site. And again, like you just said, the grey water area is on pitch for caravans. There's no grey water. Now, she does have a big gravel pit that she said, look, if you want to, you can open up down there. And she's very eco-friendly. So if you're using a washing up liquid that's eco-friendly, yes, go down to the gravel pit. But all the grey water areas, like you just said, are on the pitch. So it is a very old established site.
Yeah, you normally have one of those rubber buckets that we use for carrying bits and pieces into as well. And if need be, you can dump your grey water into that. But I know it's not a simple solution, but to me, it doesn't sound like the end of the world. You'll manage away if you need to, you know.
Don't definitely. If you need to empty it, you'll find some. You'll drive somewhere and empty it. Anyway, this Friday is a revisit to Linders. Now, we've been to Linders in the B-Ball, in the Hymer, and now in the VW, which is a great thing. But every time we've been, they've made changes, and they've made some rather big changes for this video, which is this Friday, 9 a.m. And then over the next couple of weeks, Giles Quay in Dundalk, or Giles Quay in Dundalk, depending on what side of the river you're from, and the greenway I was telling you about in Navan. It's called Park Bio. It's going to be an air. At the moment, it's a car park. It's privately run beside a petrol station. But oh my God, watch out for this video in a couple of weeks. It's a place that I think a lot of you guys, especially in motorhomes, are going to visit. And especially if you like your greenways for cycling, running or walking. So that's it. So we have Giles Quay, Navan. This weekend, we're heading to Curraghfin. We're heading to Killaloe. The following weekend, I have my niece's 40th birthday. And then the bank holiday weekend, I think we're heading back to Achill Island for the bank holiday weekend.
So an active day. And look, we'll put another shout out now while we're talking about it. If anybody has a knowledge of any campsites that we haven't mentioned or spoken to, or some of the more some of the more off the beaten track campsites,
quaint.
Let us know about
it, you know. Yeah, I found Mode very quaint and off the beaten track. Now, in saying that, again, if you've seen the video, it's a 56-second walk down to town. But it's one I had never, ever heard of.
Yeah, so look, we'd certainly like to give them a shout-out. So look, a short episode this week. One last question just to end it. I suppose people are starting to get out camping. So I was wondering, Aaron, one for the listeners, really. Have any of you bought a new camper, a new caravan? New motorhome this year? Would you like to maybe tell us a bit about it? You know, what features did you go for? What layout did you go for? You know, what influenced your decision to go for that camper, say, over another one? Mm-hmm. You know, was it price, or was it the layout, or did it have you know, why did it suit yours? So we'd love to get maybe an email or a message in one of the groups, or even a voicemail if you want to tell us about the camper you bought. It doesn't have to be brand new, by the way, a new or used camper, but it's new to yourselves. We'd love to hear about it and share kind of what your reasoning was behind the layout you chose, and or the camper you chose, or the features that were within that camper.
We do love getting your messages on your ideas, your campsite suggestions, reviews or products, or any news item that you want us to take a look at or discuss on the podcast. But of course, for you to get in touch with us, you need all of our contact details, and Chris has them.
Our webpage is thecampingcrew.ie. Our email address is campingcrewpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter or X, we're @thecampingcrew. On Threads, we're @thecampingcrewpodcast. On Instagram, we're @thecampingcrewpodcast as well. On Facebook, you'll find us posting when we release an episode in all the good motorhome and camping groups. And as I said before, we'd love you to record an audio message on your smartphone and email it in to us if you want to be part of the podcast. And we'd love to play your audio message on the podcast. Aaron will work his magic and make you all sound wonderful.
And don't forget, if there's anybody you think we should be interviewing, have a chat with them and then get in touch with us, and we'll set all that up as well. And don't forget, as mentioned, we have campsitereview.com. There's a forum there. It's free and it always will be. And on Fridays, youtube.com/CharlieandMe, our camping vlog is where you get our video reviews. That is it. Episode 195.
Yeah, that's it. We're getting rockedly close now to episode 200. We're thinking about what we're going to do to make that special. But just before we do close out, Aaron, you know, we're looking to potentially bring the podcast back to every 2 weeks again. But I suppose things are a little quiet at the moment in terms of content. We don't want to keep repeating the same content over and over again. We want to make it interesting for you guys as well. So look, if you have any ideas for the podcast that you think we should talk about, please, I'd like to encourage you now so we can do the planning for the year to drop us a message. Tell us what you think would be interesting to cover. You know, anything about the camping lifestyle, about particular campsites, about any new gadgets you bought, anything at all that's kind of interesting and, you know, I suppose more lighthearted.
Yeah, please do get in touch. You've just got all of the camping details, and all of the contact details are on the website anyway. That is it, episode 195. We are heading very close to episode 200, and more about that in the next episode. From me, Aaron Birchall, can I remind you, if you see us on a campsite, please do call over and say hi.
And it's bye from me, Chris. We hope that you're enjoying the podcast. If you are, please subscribe and tell your camping friends all about us.
Well, that's it for another podcast from The Camping Crew. Thanks for listening, and do join us again very soon. Safe camping.